Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, and my co-host, Felicity Sidnell-Reed. If you've joined us on this program before, you know that we usually visit with an author. But this month, because it is Poetry Month, we are going to do something a little different. First, let me tell you a little about National Poetry Month. It began in 1996 as a celebration of poetry and was first introduced by the Academy of American Poets. They wanted to increase awareness and appreciation of poetry. Canada followed in 1999, and it has been celebrated every April since that time. To celebrate, we are going to listen to a number of local poets and members of the Spirit of the Hills Writers Group. In essence, today you can sit back and enjoy our Poetry Month poetry collage.
The first set are about writing. And I'm going to first read one from Mary Oliver, a very well-known American poet who has won the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry in 1984. And her latest collection is called Felicity. And I'm going to read a poem from her book called That Little Beast. That pretty little beast, a poem, has a mind of its own. Sometimes I want it to crave apples, but it wants red meat. Sometimes I want to walk peacefully on the shore, and it wants to take off all its clothes and dive in. Sometimes I want to use small words and make them important, and it starts shouting the dictionary, the opportunities. Sometimes I want to sum up and give thanks, putting things in order, and it starts dancing around the room on its four furry legs, laughing and calling me outrageous. But sometimes, when I'm thinking about you, and no doubt smiling, it sits down quietly, one paw under its chin, and just listens. And now Gwyn's going to read her poem about writing.
Both these poems are about some of the difficulties that writers come across when they're writing, and hopefully they don't give up and they keep going. The first poem is called Watching the Olympics 2014. Seconds measured in one hundredths tie up my breath like wire, breakable in a moment of snow spray and flashes of colour, and when the gold is won, I want to embrace the ice world outside. Vigorous, glorious expanses. See myself striding out across the lake, hot breath crystals on my scarf, glasses dark against the glare, body leaning and pulling, the exhilaration of it pounding in my ears, so alive, so in control. I wrote a poem once in the pre-dawn dark. Woke from sleep with words racing, so perfect and so profound, my hand could not write fast enough. I wrote in one hundredths of seconds and knew that what I had was gold. In the morning I read how tea leaves could save the energy crisis and crumpled up the page. And the other one is called Writing Memoir. Obus form at her back, she writes in sensible shoes, with arch supports. Writes of running through long yellow grass with golden hair, eating oranges under sultry African skies, sand in her hair and his, tasting the salt of Indian Ocean waves crashing. She writes by the wood stove, with hot tea and curled cat, closes her eyes, tries to conjure up the feel of heat on that 20-something skin, dust in young eyes, exhilaration in supple limbs, gropes for the groin ache of sex and the shape of his chin, writes of a beach now half washed away.
And continuing with poems about the written word, we hear from Jessica Outram, who talks about her muse and how sometimes she disappears for a while. And then we hear from Linda Hutzel-Manning, who talks about reciting a poem.
I'd like to read Lois is My Pseudonym, and this is a poem that was included in an anthology called The Writing Spiral. Lois is My Pseudonym. Her verses rhymed sometimes, blue pen in a Jedi journal, glimmering by her nightlight, dancing words glided eternal. At 10 she glowed, inspired. Lois learned to write joy and pain, and she felt so alive as sun words warmed her coldest rain. But she forgot her pen when she grew up and joined the grind. She sunk in life's wild stream, sewing a cloudy robot mind. She did not write at all. Cobwebs wheezed on her shelves of books. Raw cinders dirtied time. Word pillars vanished with stray looks. Life was gray and lonely, filled with stainless steel and headlines. Wordless woman of tin, trapped, mad in a cramped ant-like shrine, choked and bored from life's straight line, she ached and prayed for some new sign. Lois built a tower to climb in search of her words lost, to seek inspiration and remember the self she crossed. Blue pen and blonde pages, once tossed from windows of regret, she promised her art and chanted strong, "I will not forget." I claim my words today, write verses on my hands and feet. Beloved strings of letters will carve songs in your dull concrete.
Thank you, Jessica. And today we welcome Linda Hutzel-Manning as one of our Poetry Month poets.
This is a poem I wrote about Alice Munro's character Rose from her short story, Who Do You Think You Are? You stand, smooth your pleated skirt, recite the poem, words so electric they glow across the wood dark room. Classmates stare. Miss Hattie clears her throat, breaks the chalk to underline, read poem of your choice. Her stare impales, condemns you. Whatever were you thinking, Rose? Do you suppose yourself superior because you can learn poems? Who do you think you are? That sin of vanity, of showing off, the nerve to dare to rise above your station, even though you weren't aware you had one until now. Now, with burning cheeks, you realize you've stepped across some unseen adult line, one that demands you repent. Apologize for what? You are not sure. Exuberance, perhaps. These words spilled out, good words. Your hope for praise now held as evidence of guilt. Spontaneity derailed, soaked in disbelief and shame. You take your seat, implode the shock, deny disgrace, shut senses down, glance through the sun-filled window, watch the path a lone bird takes across the morning sky.
Well, I think Miss Hattie should be spoken to. Since when was reading poetry or reciting poetry a problem?
Our next group of poems, we're going to have poems about spring. Spring has been very long in coming this year, but I think finally it is here. I know the daffodils are up in my garden, and things are definitely looking spring-like. So the first poem we're going to have is by Bruce Kaufman. He's a local poet from Kingston, and the poem is called Seed, and I will read that. Then Felicity will read a poem by A.E. Houseman called Loveliest of Trees. And finally, we'll end that set with a poem by Coburg poet Linda Hutzel-Manning and her poem about chickadees. Seed by Bruce Kaufman. Bring it in the morning. The moon is right, he said. He chose the earth. He tilled until the soil sat warm and moist. He prepared the bed. And taking these new whispers of things held in his hand, he slowly sowed them, straight and deep. He had a way with seed, they said. He had a way with words. Now, both planted, it was spring.
This is my favorite spring poem. It's very famous, and it's by A.E. Houseman. It's called Loveliest of Trees, the Cherry Now. Loveliest of trees, the cherry now is hung with bloom along the bough and stands about the woodland ride, wearing white for Eastertide. Now of my 70 years, 20 will not come again, and take from 70 springs a score, it only leaves me 50 more, and since to look at things in bloom, 50 springs a little room, about the woodlands I will go, to see the cherry hung with snow.
I wrote this poem after a writer's retreat north of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, where we would go out during break and take nuts and seeds and hold them in our palm of our hands, and the chickadees would come and fly onto our hands and take them. It was quite wonderful. The poem is called Falling into Light. I dream of chickadees that flutter as they land on outstretched palm, survival over fear, a momentary trust, connect then disconnect, as we do, tentative and at the slightest pretext, connoisseurs of recoil, pale wings flashing back through doorway after darkened doorway, watching, waiting, tracing paths in and out invisible as paper wings, forays into moments caught and gone like seeds adrift in wind. We tread thin floorboards, shadows always, black on black, hoping for that patient footfall, open hand, the unexpected falling into light.
I hope you are enjoying Word on the Hill's poetry collage to celebrate National Poetry Month. There's plenty more to come from Northumberland's poets, but first, let's take a short break.